All right, so open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 19. Everyone has a Bible, right? Got a Bible? All right, Genesis chapter 19. Last week in Genesis, actually Genesis 19 in general is focused on Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, and we've been talking about that. But last week we saw how the angels allowed Lot, or even asked, told Lot, if there's anyone in your family, go talk to them. And he did. We talked about how Lot acted as a prophet, God being merciful to Lot and allowing him to go speak to people, but they didn't listen to him. So they didn't listen, and again, the Lord's mercy raptured him out of there. And we talked about how the pulling of them means rapture. It is a pulling. And Pastor Tim also brought up this scripture last week concerning the rapture, and it talked about how they grabbed them by the hands and took them out of that place, all because of God's mercy. They did that. He did linger, and again, it was possible because he was hoping that the rest of his family or even friends would meet him there. But no one came there, just him, his wife, and two daughters, and the angels took him from there. Sad part is, as they were escaping, his wife looked behind him, and she turned into a pillar of salt. Now, I forgot to mention this, or I didn't mention it, that there was two viewpoints on this. She looked, and she turned instantly into a pillar of salt, or she actually was in the process of turning and walking back towards Sodom and Gomorrah, and then she turned into a pillar of salt, because we don't know why. Either she was hoping her friends or maybe her sister or family members would come, and it hurt her. But whatever reason, it was still a longing to go back to something God was going to destroy. And we also spoke about how we have to be careful about the comforts of our homes, wherever we are, our old lifestyle, and thinking about, let me just one more time talk to people or have a party one more time before I come and follow you. When the Lord Jesus calls us, we need to follow him, because we don't know what he's saving us from. And I talked earlier when I was talking about, we don't know how many times God saved us. We really don't. But if you hear the Holy Spirit telling you do or don't, let go of this or pick up that, it is always wise to listen to the Spirit of God. And of course, we confirm it in his word. So we saw how Lot was raptured from there, but he lost his wife in that situation. And we end it with, let me get my slides ready. You got my slides up there? Okay. Man, I'm not ready. There we go. So we ended with Abraham waking up early in the morning to see the smoke coming out from Sodom and Gomorrah. So we're picking it up in verse 30 of chapter 19. So it goes on. Then Lot went up out of Zoar. And remember, Zoar was the city that he was allowed to flee to. God showing him mercy and grace even there, that was one of the five cities that were judged by God. But because of Lot, they were able to be saved. But he went there, and it says, Lot went out up of Zorah, and dwelt in the mountains, and his two daughters were with him, for he was afraid to dwell in Zorah. And he and his two daughters dwelt in a cave. I'm forgetting a lot of stuff here. There we go. So I want to show you a map of where this possibly was and discuss a little bit more about the city Sodom and Gomorrah. This is where Zorah is. That is the Salt Sea. And there you see where there's brimstone deposits all around that area. So there's two different ways of looking at this. Sodom and Gomorrah sank in there, or there's still sort of areas on the side, but there is an extreme amount of brimstone deposits all around the Salt Lake in the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea area. So he fled from Sodom. There's Gomorrah, and he fled all the way to Zorah. And remember when we talked about the sun was coming up, or was up in the sun by the time he reached Zoar. So it probably took him hours. It's hard to say how far that was, and I didn't do the mapping in it, but that's where he was. All that area is filled with brimstone. I think I got another one. It's a little bit more close. You see the cities that were destroyed out of the five. There's Sodom, Adma, Gomorrah, and Zeboiim. Those, remember, the five kings against the four. The only city that was spared is Zorah. And you see, there's some other places that say Sodom is right in the Dead Sea. They cannot send any submarines or anything down there. I think the deepest it is like 1,500 feet, because there is so much salt in there that the machines that they send won't work. So there's no way to excavate, I guess you would say, underwater there. But it's extremely, extremely, salty, and it continues to get salty. It's the heat that actually takes a lot of the moisture from there because of the rest of the Jordan. Yes, goes on in there, but all of the heat in that area, it evaporates, and all the, again, we talked about them, that area is filled with brimstone. So a lot of excavations happen there, and there is the city that he ran to. And if you see up there, Hebron, that's where Abraham was when all of this happened. And of course, he could look out towards Sodom and see the smoke rising. So these were the two places that represents more of the the brimstone that you see there. Yep. All right. So he was afraid to dwell in Zorah. So why was Lot fearful is where we're going to ask the question right now. Why was he afraid? When you think about what happened, this was the only city that was spared. All these cities were destined for destruction because they were all considered wicked in the eyes of the Lord. But God's mercy is more than we can even think. For the sake of Lot, he would have spared the whole city. But he was fearful. Now, we can speculate why. When you think about it, the first thing is, okay, he was there with his two daughters. It could be perhaps when the people were watching the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, because while they were there, you could see all that stuff. He could have thought maybe they were there for a while, and it doesn't tell us how long they were there, but they could have been there for a while, and perhaps Lot thought, all right, maybe God will destroy this place. Or perhaps the people who witnessed this turned their hearts to this one God that Lot knew about. This is the time, once again, a God is establishing himself as the one true Elohim, the one true God, meaning plural but one, and it means that he is the God above all gods. So he was fearful, and we're not sure. So that is one point. He could have looked at them. They could have turned, but they started going back to their old ways, and he was fearful. Okay, God is going to destroy this city because he was supposed to, but he spared it for my sake. Another thing, it could be that he was fearful because he didn't listen to the angels and thought, maybe I should go live up in the mountains like they told me. Maybe God will come back and destroy it because I'm disobedient. Even though they allow this, I should have listened to the angels. He could have been thinking the decisions he made is what led him to this place. Remember, he chose to live in Sodom because it was a great, prosperous city, full of water, agriculture was great, people were prospering, and some archaeologists estimate that at its height, it was close to like 1 million people or so. I'm going to say less than that because you have to think of the other people who lived around there. And generally what they do is when you think about tombs, at times they would just build upon tombs. Bones can get scattered. But it was a big, prosperous place, and he was fearful to dwell there. It could also be that he was fearful that what happened in Sodom might happen to him there. The people would come there. Maybe he realized that he shouldn't have tried to give out his daughters, and he was thinking of them. But more than likely, it could have been, if you think about it and put Lot's shoes on in you, this town was supposed to be destroyed. Would you dare to live there longer than you should, knowing that the first thing God wanted you to do through his messengers was go to the mountains? So it's possible all those things, or who knows? He realized he should go there because the people are bad. Again, when you think about this, he didn't trust is a number one thing. And you're going to see a cycle here with Lot. He didn't trust the angels on the first time when they told him. And it seems that he didn't trust the angels the second time. See, that's another thing. Because the angels said, we will spare Zoar. So if they're going to say that directly from God, it's going to be spared. To this day, the city's still there. Not as obviously as it used to be, but it's still there. And that tells you that Lot lacked a certain degree of faith. What else was it? What caused him to be that way? Fear. When you think about fear, it will always lead you in the wrong decisions. in the same way arrogant confidence can. See, these are two ends of the same stick. You can be fearful and make the wrong decisions, and you can be so confident that you are arrogant and make the same wrong decision. But Lot right here was fearful. So we're going to read and see that even the decision he makes now out of fear causes him to make the wrong decision. I talked about even now when it comes to this COVID and everything that we shouldn't make any decision out of fear. And that's true. When you make decisions out of fear, that is contrary to the Spirit of God. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but with prayer and supplication, let your petitions be known to God. And that's what we're supposed to do. But we allow too much of this emotion to overcome us, because it's part of us so long that we can easily forget everything the Lord tells us when we're in a situation of panic. And I think we've all been there. Even when it comes to, let's say, if you ever talk to someone about the Lord, you get anxiety and nervousness, adrenaline runs, you can't remember what you want to say. How much more in this situation? But that's where you really do have to take a step back and tell yourself, right now my emotions are getting the best of me. I'm going to either do or say something wrong. And these are a lot of the examples of the Bible, and especially when you think about Lot right here. It was fear that caused him to make this decision that's going to happen. And he didn't trust God. He didn't trust what the angels told him. So now he might have been regretting that. And that's a difficult thing. Remember, you need to, if God tells you something, you got to do it. You don't want to delay. And if you know it's God, of course, we seek counsel. We go through the word. We ask brothers and sisters. We pray. When the Lord says it and you know it, then do it. Lot knew he would have been safe there because God said, I will spare this place. That means Lot had God's ears also for the sake of Abraham. So he was fearful. Excuse me, one more time. I forgot to take my tonsil soothing. I will one of these days take out my tonsils. Okay. So, moving on to verse 31. Now the firstborn said to the younger, our father is old, and there is no man on earth to come into us as is the custom of all the earth. So here is where we're getting into another portions of scripture that is very uncomfortable. We ask the question to God, man, what is going on here? Why would you allow this? What's happening? But remember, there's causality, and I say this all the time, there's a cause and effect. Whatever we sow, we will reap, even though if it's not intentional. He didn't expect to be in this situation. But when you think about what his firstborn is saying, the Bible gives us information on what their mindset was. It says, the firstborn said to the younger, what? Our father is old. So what does that mean? There is no man on earth. The word earth here could mean land or country, that region. Remember that all the cities that they knew was wiped out. So to them, no one was left. Although we see that Zoar thrived. There was a city there. So how can they say there is no man? Now there's two points of view when you're looking at this. Remember where they came from. Remember that when they went to the city, they were considered special. When you're thinking about other gods and the way people used to treat other gods, there's two things that happen. They will either kill you or revere you to the point where we're not even going to touch you, because if we do, maybe the god will get us. Now, it's very possible that, I'm going to say it probably is that Lot told this story to the people. They're going to ask him what happened. This happened. Then I decided to give my daughters so they wouldn't rape these men. Okay, what happened? The angels blinded everyone. So I guess they didn't want him to give the daughters. So maybe the daughters are holy, they're virgins. Now this is the mindset of people who are worshiping other gods. Remember, there's a lot of different types of religions, worshiping of gods, superstitions, and that is the culture. When you think about what's happening even now, if you know world religions and other cultures or what they do, it would shock you. We're going to get into a little bit of that when we get into being pregnant, but a lot of customs are unusual. A lot of customs when it comes to appease the gods, just like they did in Rome, it was sexual in nature. A lot of it, of course, is human sacrifice. A lot of it is this person is holy, that person is holy. What about when you put salt in the back of you in America, right? It's all superstitions. If you think someone, and a lot of people think this, if you go to a pastor or a priest or something, something in you saying, oh, this person's special. A lot of people think that, and they revere that person more. It shouldn't be, it should be more respect for each other. Yes, you can respect the office, but we're all human, you know? And at times we can look at someone else and say, well, this person's closer. And sometimes it can be that way. We're going to see that as well. When Abraham is going to pray for this one character, we'll get to next week. But that is a possible reason. The men didn't want to touch these two daughters of Lot because they were considered either holy or dangerous. Either way, it could have been, we're not touching them. Look what happened to the last guys who tried to touch them. It could have been that, or they really did believe that there were no men around because they were in the cave for a certain amount of time. We don't know. And it was possible that raiders came into that small town. Remember, because that the name Zophar meant small or insignificant. Out of all those five, let's say, cities, that was the smallest one. So raiders come and go even now to certain little towns and they take everything. And it's possible that all the men were killed. That happens even to this day. When there's little villages, they'll go and kill the men, take the women and children, and make them part of their clan. That may have happened as well. But we're not certain. But those are the two possibilities that why they thought there is no man. Either there was no man willing, or there was no man in the anywhere they saw. So, verse 32. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve the lineage of our father. So, when you think about this thing here, and you look at commentaries and what people think, here it is, they have wine. Now, I don't know how probable it is that they took it from the city they were at. And that would tell you that they were in this cave for at least a year or so, because you would have to make wine. This is reminiscent also of Noah. When he got off the ark, he created a vineyard. When you think about wine, it's also medicinal as well. So it's probable that they had a vineyard. We think about caves as barren. But you have to remember there's a lot of caves or hill countries, it's more like it, where they have a lot of vegetation. And the atmosphere is a little bit different. And you can grow, obviously, grapes. Where are grapes generally grown? On hilly places, right? So it's likely that they had a little vineyard somewhere, and the cave that they're in was not as dank, as dark as you would think. If you ever saw any caves, they could be as 1,000 feet or more, right? Square foot. You could have a nice little cave. And in fact, I think it's in Arizona. I'm not exactly sure. That they created a house inside of a cave. You can buy it or you can stay there for a couple of days. It is beautiful. There is natural water flowing down off the side of the caves, but it's gorgeous. And it is a perfect temperature. The climate stays the same. So it's easy to see that they could live in a cave, and it's not a horrible looking cave.
Palm Springs, they have them.
In Palm Springs? So they have some in Palm Springs.
Yeah, I've been there.
Wow. So they make him drink wine, or they say, "We drink wine and we will lie with him, that we may preserve the lineage of our father." So the lineage here, when you're looking at preserve the lineage of their father, are they thinking sexually? Now, again, a lot of people may say, well, they come from Sodom and Gomorrah. So why wouldn't they think to do this thing? You first have to see a couple of things. They were virgins. They kept their virginity, so they were following their father's ways. Another thing is they're saying, let us make our father drink wine. So they knew that Lot would not consent to something like this. Now, it's possible that they could have went to him and said, Father, where are all that's left? You're going to have to impregnate us. And he's like, there is no way I'm ever going to do that. That is a possible thing. Because he is different from any other culture, and we're going to see this. That's part of the culture that they had back then. But they said, okay, let us cause him to drink wine. So, what happens? They want to preserve his line. Now, they weren't looking at it sexually because it says right here what the older says to the younger. Remember, put yourself in that position. It's a dead wasteland. They're thinking again what God said through passing on Adam and Eve. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. It happened also with their ancestor, Noah, that they had to be fruitful and multiply. And if you're thinking you're the only people left in the earth, drastic times calls for drastic measures. What would a person do? Of course, we think this is horrible, but what is she saying? We need to preserve the seed of humanity, or we need to preserve the seed of our father because no one else wants us. Remember those two different ways of looking at it. But nevertheless, their reason for doing this is to preserve life. Verse 33. So they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father. And he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. So again, here, the Bible is telling us Lot didn't know what happened. Person can get drunk, and none of us have to share any stories, but a lot of time people can get drunk, wake up and say, what is that? Who are you? You know, we, and it happens. You, next thing you know, you're a parent or you have some disease. But it's true. It happens. You can wake up and not know anything. And this is what happens a lot. He woke up and he didn't know what happened. Verse 34. It happened on the next day that the firstborn said to the younger, indeed, in other words, really, I actually did it. I lay with my father last night. Let us make him drink wine tonight also, and you go in and lie with him, that we may preserve the lineage of our father. So she reminds her younger sister why they're doing that. And in essence, she's talking her into it. She's saying, listen, everything in this dialogue here doesn't say, man, it was great. Let's defile ourselves and be like the Sodomites. She's saying, indeed, I did it. Now, when you're looking at the way the words here, it's not, yay. She's telling her younger sister, we have to do this thing that we may not even want to do or don't want to do. It wasn't a sexual intent here. Verse 35. Then they made their father drink wine that night also. And the younger arose and lay with him, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. Thus both the daughters of Lot were with child by their father. So this is an unusual portion as well here. Goes on to talk about the children. But how long were they all together? How did Lot feel when he saw his daughters, if he was still alive, because we don't know, their stomachs getting big. Now, this is speculation. We don't know, because then he would have had to take care of these children. And how would he have felt? Well, this would have reminded him of all the mistakes he made and how he should have stayed in the city. Because you see the progression of his decisions. But we don't know if he was there or not, because they did say, our father is old. This in itself could have caused him to have a heart attack. Who knows? Bible's not clear on that. If he was alive, Lot more than likely would have taken care of those kids and his daughters. He would have, who knows, in his mind, got more drunk because he would have been, how can you do this? And they would have said, we had to preserve life. Don't you understand? And he could have just been, okay, that's the way it is. Again, this is a tough situation to be in. Here these people are doing something that we would never think of. How could this happen, right? People doing this. Well, unfortunately, it happens today in societies. It happens in other countries. And it's interesting because you have to understand culture. Remember that Abraham married his half-sister. That was his half-sister, and his brother married his niece. So even if they're looking at this, they're not looking at it from a sexual standpoint. This is what we're doing because we're keeping the family line. And generally, when you're in a tribe, you marry each other. That's the way it goes. Other countries do that now. If you look online, it doesn't mean that it's right at all. We're going to discuss this. But they do that more so to preserve their family. Remember that the way you defend yourself is to have more kids, have more males. That's part of the culture. In the Philippines, they just changed the age of marriage, because you were allowed to marry a child. And you think, wait, how's that possible? Even in Islam and in other places in the world, in Africa, they marry children. There's there's this one place in Bangladesh, in a certain tribe in India, that their custom is the women are in charge, but yet there's this thing that happens when a husband dies, the woman is left basically with nothing. She needs to carry on what she has. So what they generally do is they will marry a younger man if they have children. And in that, the mother and the daughter marries that man. And why is that? It's because they're trying to preserve their lives. Now, obviously, they're trying to ban that, but a lot of the women don't like doing that. A lot of the women, you can see their reports, they say they want to get married because the wife has the decision to choose who she wants to marry. But she never had the opportunity. She was forced into this marriage, and she was 3 years old. I'm telling you one out of many stories. 3 years old, and she doesn't remember, and she resented it. So what does that do to a person? It psychologically affects them. You have the mother marrying a younger person, and she explains, I did this because we would have never made it on our own. In the contract, you're marrying two people. When the girl comes of age, she is going to have sex with this man. And then the first wife generally is put to the side. Now, the story in, that they're talking about here, and this lady says she loved her husband, and it really hurt her. But it was a necessity in that part of the world because they don't have welfare there. You can't go to the government and ask them for assistance. This is what has to be done. So it caused a lot of issues. But it's for the sake of preserving themselves and the family line. The daughter now can get everything that was meant for her to have. So it continues that way. But there's a lot of stories of the women running away, going to different parts of India. Even in Africa that happens. There's times when another part where this woman married her son because she invested money in his education and she didn't want anyone else to profit from him. And it's still a sexual relationship and it's wrong. But they're doing it in their own mind thinking that it is the best thing to do. Now, clearly these people don't know Jesus. There's a lot of other religions out there, and that's what you get. When you have religions like this that also involve sexual rituals and such, it doesn't seem as wrong to do these things. Even though inside of you, there's a conscience that tells you, I don't want to do this. This daughter didn't know she was married, and now she would have to have sex with this man. But what happens? Now that the mother and daughter are battling. Now she says, I'm going to get you, Mom, and I'm going to take this man and make him love me. It destroys. That's the mindset of this daughter, and that more likely than not is the mindset of Lot's daughters. We have to do this. So see, when you're thinking about it from a cultural standpoint, you get a different perspective. They are forced to do these things. And in their mind, it starts to become rationalizing that it's okay.
Look at what it produced. The
Well, we're going to get there, mister, so you hold your horses. Maybe we'll get there. We'll see. Okay, so they preserve the lineage of their father. Oops. So verse 37, I think we're at, right? Okay. The firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab, which means from the father or of the father. Regardless, it's the same thing. Came from the father. He is the father of the Ammonites to this day. And the younger, she also bore a son, verse 38, and called his name Ben-Ami. Son of the people is what that means. So that also means he's going to be a son to make, obviously, people. He's a son of my own blood, my own people. He is the father of the people of Ammon to this day. Now, when you think about the Moabites, and we were just talking about this, right? The Ammonites, they were frequently, or actually a lot, at war with Israel in later years. If you go more into the books of the Bible, you'll see that. And they mostly lived in the mountain regions because, of course, Lot lived there. So they're in the hill countries of where they were born. And that's in the eastern part of the Dead Sea. Yeah, there we go. It's in the eastern part of the Dead Sea area where you see Zophar. On your part, you would go to your right. So that country is where they all started, I guess, living there. Of course, when you think about these people, they were generally idolaters, right? Of course they were. They didn't understand Lot's God. And as time goes on, what happens? You generally separate and you will build on gods that you knew, or a god may appear to you. Because remember, we're talking about demons as well. They can come to you and say, I'm a god, worship me. Or you can appease the gods. The weather is bad. I need to do this. Only through, as men goes, because we're all corrupt, you're going to bring up some false idol. So they were idolaters, but not all of them were wicked. Just like a lot of people in the world are not all wicked, even though they come from countries or places that are generally wicked religions. Think about Ruth. Ruth was a Moabite woman, and she married Boaz, and she's in the lineage or the ancestry of Jesus, right? And Naamah was an Amorite woman, one of Solomon's wives, and she was the mother of King Rehoboam. She also is mentioned in the lineage of Jesus. And that shows you that God can save anyone. He can, just because, like, for example, someone may do something, it doesn't necessarily mean that the rest of people will do something bad. There's always a remnant everywhere that God is trying to reach. Even his two daughters, again, it doesn't seem anywhere that they did it out of a sexual nature. That just doesn't make sense. You don't have to say these words here. So, and later on, God judges the Moabites and the Amorites, and we know it was a severe judgment. But if you look at Jeremiah 48 and 49, it seems that there may be a revival or a bringing back into the fold, or them understanding God later on in time. Because those people, along with the Edomites and others, they were incorporated into the Arab nation or the Arabs. And the Arabs were part of Ishmael, Ishmael's line. So if you're looking for them, they're all still in the Middle East, just all mixed together. And even the Jews today have a bloodline somewhere in there because they're all together. They're all basically family. They may be able to trace it somewhere, but in the end, you're going to come up against these Amorites and Moabites somehow because they all intermingled. So I think I got this slide. So we talked about Sodom, and we see in the end, it talks about his lineage. He finds himself in a place he never wanted to find himself, right? And his two daughters have his children. But I want to talk about what was Sodom's great sin. And we first think what? Sodomy. A lot of people say that, homosexuality. And I want to look into that so we can better understand more so what they were doing or what they weren't doing. Remember, it was a great city. They had everything they wanted. They were thriving. And generally when people thrive, what happens? They get bored and they start sinning more. It's just in history. You see that. You see that in the Roman Empire. And that's why it fell internally, because they were too decadent. So I want to look at Jude to see what Jude says about this. And he's relating this. And we talked about Jude in the beginning when it came to the Nephilim. But he's relating this to the angels who left their natural place and had sexual relations. But he says here, as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to those, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And that's what it says there. So the question is, was it just homosexuality that destroyed that nation? And what is that strange flesh? So I want you to open your Bibles to Leviticus 18, and we are going to read the entire chapter. We're not going to take too much time, but we want to see why God destroyed them. So in order to understand what God wants to do, why he allowed certain things, and what he's about to change, we look at Leviticus and Deuteronomy and certain parts of Exodus to see what laws he's placing. And that will tell us what they were doing back there, not only in Sodom and Gomorrah, but other parts in that area. So it's Leviticus 18. Everyone there? And it's going to say it right away in the beginning. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. According to the doings of the land of Egypt, where you dwelt, you shall not do. And according to the doings of the land of Canaan, which we are right now in the Bible, where I am bringing you, you shall not do. So right now he's talking about Egypt and Canaan. Right now we are talking about the land of Canaan where Lot is, where Sodom and Gomorrah is. And God is telling the Hebrews right now, these are the things you're not going to do. The things that have happened and caused judgment on them. It goes on to say, nor shall you walk in their ordinances. In other words, in their laws, in their ways. You shall observe my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk in them. I am the Lord your God. Right there, when you see him saying, I am the Lord your God, he is saying, I am the one and only true God, the Elohim of Elohims, the Alpha and Omega. There is no other. He is stamping it and wants them to get in their head, I am your God. So listen to what I'm telling you. Because they have a tendency, just like we do, to go back to our old ways or want to in the flesh. He says, you shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. Verse 6, none of you shall approach anyone who is near of kin to him to uncover his nakedness, and that means having sex with them. I am the Lord. That is very important. When God is saying that, he's saying, you better listen. The nakedness of your father or the nakedness of your mother, you shall not uncover. She is your mother. You shall not uncover her nakedness. Verse 8, the nakedness of your father's wife, you shall not uncover. It is your father's nakedness. This is a wife that he married, may not be related to you, but is through marriage. 9, the nakedness of your sister, the daughter of your father or the daughter of your mother, whether born at home or elsewhere, their nakedness you shall not uncover. In other words, just because you didn't weren't raised with them and never knew them doesn't mean you can marry them or have sexual relations with them. Several years back, I think it was in 2017, this mother married her son. Then she divorced her son and married her daughter. Now, these people looked extremely sickly and looked like they were just covered in darkness. But anyway, they all went to jail because it wasn't legal. So again, it happens, and this was here in America. where was I? Verse 10? Okay. Verse 10, the nakedness of your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter, their nakedness you shall not uncover, for theirs is your own nakedness, their family. The nakedness of your father's wife's daughter, begotten by your father, she is your sister. You shall not uncover her nakedness. Now we have a problem right here. Who married his father's daughter? Abraham. He married his father's daughter. But you have to remember, these Levitical laws were not put into place. And Paul later on is going to explain to us why there was sort of grace. Where was I? Now I keep losing it. Verse 12. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's sister. She is near of kin to your father, obviously your aunt. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your mother's sister. She is near of kin to your mother, your aunt. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's brother. You shall not approach his wife. She is your aunt. Clearly, you can't do that. Now, we have a tendency to look at this and say, oh, homosexuality. No, it applies to male and female. Both. God is talking to every person. Verse 15, you shall not uncover the nakedness of your daughter-in-law. She is your son's wife. You shall not uncover her nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your brother's wife. It is your brother's nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter, nor shall you take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover their nakedness. They are near of kin to her. It is wickedness. Now that is talking about if you marry a woman or a man who has kids, you cannot go to them, marry them, have sexual relations with them of any kind. Those are your stepchildren. 18. Nor shall you take a woman as a rival to her sister to uncover her nakedness while the other is alive. Now, where is this problem? Jacob has this problem later on in the Bible. He did that. It wasn't his intention, but that's how they would do it Even now, I just talked about how that man married the mother and a daughter. And a lot of people, they marry two daughters. And even it's reversed sometimes in some cultures. Where are we? Verse 19. Also, you shall not approach a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is in her her customary impurity. That is the period. No sex during periods. Moreover, you shall not lie carnally with your neighbor's wife to defile yourself with her. And you shall not let any of your descendants pass through the fire to Molech, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Now he puts this together. Don't go to your neighbor's wife, people who may live next to you, and don't all of a sudden become like them, sacrificing to Molech either by death or sexually. Because remember, we're talking about rituals that involve sex, rituals that involve sex, then killing someone, rituals that involve killing someone, then having sex with that dead body, so on and so forth, eating it. It is pure wickedness. And that is what goes on even in the world today. And he says, I am the Lord. Verse 22, you shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. Now, right here, people can just focus on this verse and see, that is the reason for Sodom. Remember, we're reading everything that pertains to sexual impurity and laws that God says is wrong. Verse 32, nor shall you mate with any animal to defile yourself with it, nor shall any woman stand before an animal to mate with it. It is perversion. So that also, all of these things is what the lands are doing. Verse 24, do not defile yourselves with any of these things, for by all these the nations are defiled, which I am casting out before you. For the land is defiled, therefore I visit the punishment of its iniquity upon it. Sodom and Gomorrah was visited because of its iniquity, its wickedness that rose up to heaven. And the land vomits out its inhabitants. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, either any of your own nation or any stranger who dwell among you. For all these abominations the men of the land have done, who were before you. And that's talking about all these people, past and even present, the custom that they're used to doing. God is saying, this is the way it is, no more. And thus the land is defiled, lest the land vomit you out also when you defile it, as it vomited out the nations that were before you. For whoever commits any of these abominations, the persons who commit them shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore you shall keep my ordinances, so that you do not commit any of these abominable customs. See, this was their traditions, their way of living, and to them it was normal, which were committed before you, and that you do not defile yourselves by them. I am the Lord your God. So when you're thinking about what's going on here, what was the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah? It was all of this. Not only this, of course, if you go into Deuteronomy as well, you'll see how they want you to treat another man's oxen or chicken or whatever it is, that you are to be fair, you're not to steal. So it wasn't only sexual immorality, it was also business. It was also other customs. It was also the way they treated others. It was all wrong. And God destroyed them because all of that reached him. All of these things that the Bible talks about, that God says do not do, they were doing that. I think when you think about Hawaii before all of the missionaries came over there, it was normal for them to sleep around with each other. It just was. It was normal. Happy doing that, and it wasn't a big thing. But when all the missionaries came in, little by little, they changed them into Christians. Of course, they also did a lot wrong to the people. They took their lands, they gave them disease, a lot of death, also the Spaniards, and so on and so forth. But it was like that there. It's still like that in a lot of tribes throughout the world. And why is that? Because they don't know the Lord. They were raised that way. A lot of countries, it's normal for them to do that, or like tribes, because they don't know better. And when it's a tradition that's passed on, it's going to happen. A lot of countries, they say, okay, it's time for you to have sex at 10, 9, whatever. They have certain rituals that they do that. It's normal for them. And they think there's nothing wrong with it because they grew up that way. Their mind is warped. Even in the beginning when they're children, they may not want to do that, but they're told to do it. So you become like your culture. And I say again, even us as Christians, we have to watch the culture we're in because we live in Sodom and Gomorrah. And there's no denying that. Now, I wanted to bring up one last scripture, and this has to do with what we talked about, and that's how I got there. You're going to love this one. The Bible talks about everything homosexually and whatnot, but what about the transgender community? This directly speaks to it with clothes and physically. It says, a woman shall not wear anything that pertains to a man, nor shall a man put on a woman's garments, for all who do so are an abomination to the Lord your God. Now, that directly speaks to a person who believes they can change genders because they're doing the same thing. They're putting on a facade. This is also what Sodom and Gomorrah was doing. We know that a lot of people in the Roman Empire did this. They elevated hermaphrodites to a huge place. But this speaks to what? A facade, right? Don't put on girls' clothing. And we know fashions change. But even when they change, there's a differentiation, isn't there, between male and female clothes, right? There is. And there's something in that. Even in Jesus' days, they all wore robes, but they were still different. They weren't the same. So when you look at this, it also holds to the flesh. It's a facade. Just because I may feel like a woman and go get an operation doesn't mean I am. We know that science proves that. We know that the chromosomes prove that. All this person is doing is wearing clothes that they should not wear. And that's what it is. So when you look at this, it speaks to that because you are changing. What God is saying here, don't try to change your gender. You are who you are. It is wrong for you to be that way. So when people ask you, well, the Bible may not talk about gender issues, it's right here. Well, it doesn't talk about it in the New Testament because they knew. Jesus was talking to Jews. They knew all of this. They didn't have to understand all this. It was in their laws. Christ came to fulfill them. Then when everyone became Christians, they took that wisdom with them. And they know naturally. We know naturally not to do this. The Holy Spirit tells us. Paul and the other apostles also added on to that, sexual immorality and everything. What were they teaching the Gentiles? The Old Testament, which was the New Testament. So of course they knew this. Jesus himself establishes marriage. It is written. In the beginning, it is like this, male and female. So when people may ask you, why would God not want me to be this? Deuteronomy 22, you already know it. Verse 5, you cannot change who you are. And if you try to do that, it's abomination. You need help. You need the Lord. So we see what destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. We see what destroyed one of the greatest kingdoms, which was the Roman Empire. We see what is destroying America internally. It's what? Sexual immorality, the destruction of the family, and you have those two, there's the lying and everything else. The greed destroys everything. And it's the way it happens. So, to recap Lot, because the story focuses on Lot, and what do we learn from Lot? Of course, don't do certain things. Lot moved to Sodom. Abraham gave him the decision, but he decided to look at the watery plains and say, this is great. I'm going to move into the city and I won't want for anything. Remember that he had a whole bunch of people with him as well, but he lost them. But Lot was spared because God remembered Abraham, the Bible told us as we read. Because one man, Abraham, was friends with God and decided to follow God, God would listen to him. And of course, Lot rubbed off on Lot. because he didn't do any of those wicked things. And he was saved. Sodom was a prosperous city, but Sodom was extremely deprived. I talked about how the homosexual community, their LGBT plus Q community, we talked about a couple of weeks ago in the book, Born Again This Way, Coming Out, Coming to Faith, and What Comes Next by Rachel Gilson. I still highly recommend that. And I'm going to buy some and put them out there. But it doesn't excuse people that the church didn't do their job right in the 80s and 90s and they were trying to cure homosexuality, because we were all born this way. David says he was born in iniquity. He was born in sin. So there's this tendency for us, of course, to be able to do any heinous, wicked thing possible, because the Bible says that when sin gives full birth, it brings death. And every one of us, if it wasn't for the Spirit in us, can easily be like a sodomite. The things that we think is most disgusting and evil, if you continue to do sin, perversion comes in, and we can become like anyone else. So everyone is born in a sinful state. It wasn't about just homosexuality. It was about sexual perversion with homosexuals and heterosexuals. People sleeping around with everything, with animals, with their family members, with anything that moves. If they want it, you got it. And that's what's happening to our world right now. So Lot made a lot of bad decisions, pun intended, and lost everything. Then he became the father and grandfather of his daughter's sons. In all of this, he did not knowingly sin. And he is called righteous in this. And that's what we have to remember. He made a lot of mistakes in his decisions, but he was still called righteous. And Lot is declared righteous. And I'm just going to read it really quick. In 2 Peter 2, 7 and 8, and it says, I'm reading it from it, and he delivered righteous Lot. That means God delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelt among them, tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. So see, you can live in a deprived area, in a deprived city, but it doesn't mean you have to be like them. We are in the world, but we're not of it. We have to be so careful not to be tainted by the world. We have to be so careful to know God, but make wrong decisions in knowing God. Because in the end, he was saved by grace. It was the grace of God that saves him, preserved him, and does the same for us in our wrong decision, our mistakes. Acts 17, I'm going to end with this. So you're thinking about, why did God allow this? Why didn't he do something to Abraham? Why didn't he do something to Lot, his daughters? What about Jacob that we're going to read about? We just read everything that God said is wrong, but yet you have Abraham and you have Israel doing exactly that. So if you want, you can go there, or I'll just read it because we're running really late probably. Acts 17. When you look at Acts 17, Paul is about to address the men of Athens, right? And he looks around and he found one thing in Acts 17, verse 30, if you want to go there. He looks up and he looks at them and he looks around the city and he says, hey, everyone, let me address you. I noticed that there was this thing. It's familiar to everyone. To the unknown God. These people in Sodom didn't know God. And it's very, very likely and possible that Lot tried to talk to them. Hey, guys, you're doing wrong. You know, there is this one God above all. And he's blessing my uncle and he's blessing me. So why don't you try to follow him? Let's change this city. Let's change who we are. They didn't listen, right? Verse 30, it says this. Paul said this, and if you want to read it all, of course you can, but he's talking to them. He's explaining and leading them. You guys are doing all these freaky things, but there is this one true God. And he says, truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked or pardoned, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the men whom he has ordained, his servants, his prophets. And he's also referring also to the Old Testament, probably not knowing to himself. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead, Jesus Christ. So you see why God did it. It was their lack of understanding. It was lack of, they had ignorance. They didn't know right from wrong. That is the whole purpose when you're looking at revelation. Little by little is being revealed, God revealing himself. He allowed that because he was working at one thing at a time. First, Abraham and your descendants, I want you to know who I am. I want you to learn to trust in me. I want you to know that I will protect you and I love you and you can love me back. I want to have a relationship with you. And once we do that, I will transform you into my image. You will no longer do these things and you will no longer want to do these things when you continue to follow me. And that's the same with us. We can struggle here and there. Separation, spirit walls against the flesh. But we have to remember, God overlooked our ignorance when we sinned before we knew him. Now he calls us to walk circumspectly, upright, with a clear vision, sober with him, and do what he tells us to do. It's not easy, right? But we have a lot of examples in the Bible what not to do. Lot was shown a lot of grace, just like Abraham was, just like the rest of the people were before the law and then the New Testament. So we're to walk in that grace, but not abuse the grace, obviously. So in the end, Lot made mistakes, but he was saved by grace just like we are. That's what we're here for, to encourage and strengthen one another. When someone is down, we lift them up and help them back on the right path. Because like it says here, we're not ignorant anymore. And we'd rather have the blessings than to God lovingly give us a little tap. You want that, you don't want the other. So let's pray.